throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Good morning, early call time.
Oh, is that Howard Stern? Did we get Howard Stern on the show?
Did we? I don't know.
Where's Robin and the stuttering guy?
Oh, you're crazy, Howard. Right?
Yeah.
We're here with Greg Silverman.
Nice.
All right, Greg.
Straight from New York.
Yeah. Lead VisFX artist on the TV show Scorpion.
Detective Scorpion.
How'd we get that?
Well, I work on the show, and Greg works in the office next to ours.
Oh, okay. That made sense quickly.
Yeah.
Ah, networking.
Yep.
Networking. I'm already learning.
Yep. Greg, thanks for being on the show. This has been great.
Yeah, you're a big guy, man. Thank you.
Do you have anything you want to add? Or
no, just happy to be here, part of the cool looking guy club.
Well, without further ado,
for people that don't know what a VisFX artist does, could you give kind of a brief description of what your job entails?
Fix it in post.
Fix it in post. It's the post post fix.
Yeah, you are the person that like editors are just like, the VFX people will fucking take care of it.
Or on set, I'm the guy they just throw everything that sucks to.
Poor guy.
No, we make magic.
Yeah.
We have a good time. Super isolated until, of course, deadlines.
Right.
And then everyone's coming in, checking in every 5 minutes. Hey, is that done yet? Or?
Well, everything is, you know, the deadline was yesterday and the budget is negative.
Right.
Like it's, and it's a good time, though. Work with some cool people, some cool places, and advertising, television, features. Obviously, the features have more clout.
Right.
But oddly enough, the least money.
Really?
Oh.
I think, yeah, from experience.
Is it because of the inconsistency of the work, necessarily?
I mean, you're either tied to a studio or you're doing your own thing. So when you're working on a feature, if you're kind of young in the game, chances are it's like a indie or a small short film. Or
I see.
Right, if you want to work on Life of Pi or Avatar,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're probably going to be a small guy in a cubicle somewhere getting the bottom of the barrel, right?
Right.
Or you're a big guy who's been with that company for 12 years.
Sure. What would be considered bottom of the barrel, like say, on a show like feature like Life of Pi?
Stereo conversion, rotoscope artist, junior paint artist.
What do those jobs do?
Yeah, what is a stereo conversion?
I have no clue.
So
I know. I'm just asking for the listeners.
Right.
I know, too.
So my title is visual effects artist at Scorpion. That's kind of a very broad job title.
Okay.
A visual effects artist could be anybody from a 3D guy who's doing fluid simulations, particles, lighting and rendering, all the way to the other side of the spectrum, which is a 2D guy who's a compositor by trade. And compositor is an all-encompassing term that the umbrella is anything from paint work to particles, but they could be 2D particles, green screen poles, wire removals. It's you got to be a jack of all trades. So when we talk about bottom of the barrel, these are the guys who are doing the grunt work, the guys who are doing the roto, the tracing, guys that are doing the simple paint work, just, you know, nuts and bolts of the 2D world that are fixing stuff.
I see.
So the 3D conversion for stereo involves a lot of that. A lot of that roto and tracking and painting.
So can you describe what that is, the 3D conversion? What is it exactly? What was it?
So you'll shoot something in one camera, mm-hmm. and in order to create a stereo, you need two cameras. So offset the footage and try to mimic it. It's faking it, right?
Right.
A lot of the work that compositors and visual effects artists do is faking it.
Faking, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a lot of grunt work, creating a separate plane for, you know, whatever you're trying to sell, which is behind whatever you're trying to sell, which is behind whatever you're trying to sell.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, you showed me an episode, I think, from season one, JJ, of
the helicopter.
And he was like, okay, guess which part of this shot is, you know, fake? And I was like, I don't know, none of it? And he was like, all of it. So that's your stuff.
Well, the show that we're on, we're doing a lot of the fix-it stuff, whereas, you know, we farm out all the heavy lifting to a company called Fuse that gotcha. Does the hard surface modeling, which is a...
What up, Andy?
You're Andy.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't saying names over here. Oh,
well, that's in the bad things. Like, we don't say things with bad things, but... Like if
well,
Andy,
maybe his bad if, story if Andy, is
Fuse does great work.
They do great work. I love working with Fuse. That's why I said what up, Andy.
Yeah, they're gonna do your hard surface modeling, your car, your CG cars, your CG spaceships and tanks and submarines and whatever the hell else Santoro wants to put in the show.
Right.
I said another person's name.
It's okay. We've had Santoro on the show.
Beautiful soul.
Yeah. I really like
him. He's actually one of the funniest people we've had on yeah. the show so far.
Super good looking.
Yeah, just absolutely gorgeous.
I need a job.
So yeah, we could talk about the technical side of all this and,
yeah.
until I'm blue in the face, but for yeah. me, it doesn't really excite me.
What does excite
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Well, okay, we'll take the bait. All right.
personalities in the office, you know, mm-hmm. Learning about the, I wouldn't say the budget, but more just the politics of things and the reasons why people behave the way they do from 9 to 5, or in our yeah. case, from whatever. You want to look at my time card. You know, when you're in the office, there's a lot of different types of heads, you know, yeah. rolling around. And I like to say that the TV world is similar to the advertising world in that the office resembles a coop of chickens running around with their heads cut off.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. nobody knows which way is up.
A lot of times, yeah.
It seems this way, but in reality, it's a organized chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right.
Yeah, so just seeing the things that come out of people's, hearing the things that come out of people's mouths and seeing the day-to-day is, you know, it's kind of like survival of the fittest in there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we lost a few guys this season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was like season one. It was, you know, people were leaving to go do other things. And it was not necessarily because it was a tough show. I mean, it was a tough show, but, you know, they had other commitments and yeah, it's just... there's a lot involved with that show. I mean, between 70 and 150 VizFX an episode.
Mm-hmm. Shots.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you guys...
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it is.
It is a lot. It is a lot. And
too many, I would say. I think we need to really focus moving forward.
I think in the last couple of episodes, down. I mean, I might be mistaken because I'm not really in the department, but at least with the latest episode we did, they did a lot of stuff practically,
mm-hmm.
which I was very impressed with. And at that point, it was just cleanup of like wires and things like that.
You know, rig removals, reflections of a camera in a car scene. But yeah, if there's 50 episodes, if 50 shots in an episode, that's when we get the shots pulled, when the editor labels these shots and says, these need to be done in order for us to tell a story. Great, 50 shots for an episode. 2 days before the episode needs to be turned over, they're going to find 10 shots. They're yeah. going to find the McDonald's yeah. arches that you got to paint out. They're right. going to find right. a pimple on someone's forehead that we have to paint. You know, it's the name of the game.
Yeah.
What did Santora say? There's 25 episodes, 24 episodes. And each one resembles what, like a multi-million dollar feature. So we're creating,
absolutely,
yeah,
we're creating 20 movies in a year.
Yeah, huh. yeah. I mean, I would imagine that our resumes are going to grow exponentially because of this show. Because I mean, there's just like there's so much stuff out there that we've done. Like, mm-hmm. there's a train. They're in a snowstorm in Antarctica. You know, there are just a lot of really cool cinematic things that we get to do. And yeah, and if we didn't have you guys, we wouldn't be able to turn it around.
We'd yeah. bring it home, man.
I yeah. think you guys would be able to. The thing that we're doing is saving you a buttload of money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Reshoots and...
That was the pitch. That was the yeah. pitch coming in. And yeah, it's an interesting thing. A few things popped in my head that we could talk about, but you know, you said they're in Antarctica, they're in Africa, they're in, where are they going to be, in Vietnam next episode?
Probably.
Spoiler alert. but it's funny because they'll shoot the Antarctica thing in whatever soundstage. They shot the Africa one at this library, the Brand, I think it was.
Yeah, no. Yeah, in Glendale. Yeah.
Crazy synchronicity is going on in my life since I moved out here. I'm dating a librarian at the Getty, and
Congratulations.
Thank you. She's a beautiful person.
Yeah.
Good soul. One of her friends works at that library. One of the people who live in the house that I'm in just came back from McMurdo in South Pole.
Oh, crazy.
And it's like, what, these things are happening, and they are totally in correlation to what my path is.
Yeah.
I'm this guy who just came from the East Coast.
Like, right.
It's really, really strange. And I expect certain things to just kind of keep happening in that respect.
I always hear, like, lines of dialogues that have been written is something that I've talked about with other people, like, weeks ago or something. And, it's weird how all those things kind of
But we share the office with the writers, so it very may have...
It's just subconsciously just kind of gotten the scripts or whatever, but...
It's really strange.
It is.
Spiritual. Yeah. A little suspicious.
It's just really weird. We're
that's a little convenient, if you ask me.
We're in La La Land, man.
Yeah,
that's true.
So where'd you go to school, and what got you out here?
In Florida.
Cool.
A place I don't plan on going back.
Yeah, you say that with such disdain.
Well, when the season wraps, I'm going to drive my newly acquired convertible.
To, nice. What?
Yeah, so excited about that. To Florida, and in the off season, I'm just gonna hang out in the Lazy Boy with my grandma and smoke a bunch of weed.
That's the way to do it, man.
Wow!
Careful of those gators.
It's cool. She's in a retirement community. It's pretty, you know, gated, closed, and safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because everybody needs a gated community.
Right. Yeah.
Keep the gators out.
Sounds like a party.
That's right.
The Gator Gate. Yeah, I'm psyched for that. But Florida is not my favorite place.
No.
Especially not Central Florida.
Yeah.
A lot of weirdos.
How's Kissimmee?
Kissimmee's? That's north.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, no. Andrew.
I'm just naming stuff in Florida.
Yeah, well, that Orlando. Part is wrong.
Is it it was Full Sail?
It's in Orlando, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Orlando. Winter Park, to be specific.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about Epcot.
I would not.
All right.
Did you see this movie, the black and white one where they shot at Disney with the cameras, something... There's a really cool sequence where, like, I don't want to ruin it, but in the ball at Epcot Center,
yeah,
there's a cool finale. You should see it.
All right,
good movie. Really,
I have no idea what's it called.
Three words: Escape from Tomorrow or something like.
Oh,
that.
Oh yeah, yeah, Tomorrowland. Or
Tomorrow,
something
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like an indie black and white.
Oh, some cool little Tomorrowland.
No, it's three words: Escape from whatever the hell. Some really good little cop tricks in there too, though.
Hmm.
Okay.
Check it out.
All right.
Free advertisement.
What kind of movies do you like to watch?
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah. There we go.
Because I really don't like watching TV shows.
Yeah.
I don't have a TV. TV's not my thing. Yeah.
Okay.
That being said, there's some cool stuff. I used to like Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
That was my jam.
All right.
It's interesting. I mean, you work with TV every day, but you don't... Do you own a TV or you just don't have one?
He doesn't have one.
That's amazing.
No, I haven't. I'm coming from New York. I was living in Queens for the last 4 years, and no TV.
Wow.
No TV, no.
That's impressive.
I mean, I think it's impressive how much TV people watch. My cousin is
that's
like,
how I feel.
He's the king of the DVR, man.
Yeah.
He's like flying through there, man, like an Xbox controller. He's like,
yeah.
It's like a game. He gets so excited about it, too, man.
So what do you do with your spare time if you don't watch TV, man?
Watch movies.
And do you go to the theater a lot?
The cinema?
Theatre?
You guys are weird out here, by the way. You have assigned seating in movie theaters?
Yeah.
Only the good ones.
I don't care. I'm not from here, so I think that's weird too.
It's a real like separationist mentality that I'm not really down with.
Yeah. Where I'm from, they didn't have it, but when I went back recently, they started having assigned seating.
Really?
Yeah. Weird.
What about the dine-in theater? That's pretty dope.
Have you dine-in? Oh, dine-in.
Dine-in.
Yeah.
The dine-in theater.
Yeah, they just sprinkle diamonds all over
diamond
your popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Get down with that. Yeah, the is it the ArcLight or is it the iPic?
There's iPic in Pasadena. There's
iPic's like a club.
There's the AMC dine-in in Marina Del Rey. All great. Just like Lazy Boy. Like I saw the amazing Burt Wonderstone there.
Nice.
Which is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh, I like that movie.
But it was the I bet you love
it. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
But it was the best movie going experience I ever had.
They have one of those in Austin, Texas. And
oh, yeah, Alamo
Draft House. There you go.
Yeah, that's it.
My friends in Brooklyn, Charlie, they have the Nighthawk Cinemas. They took the same concept of, you know, beer while you watch a movie, and I think they cranked it up a notch.
Oh, yeah?
Awesome people, awesome theater. good place.
Is it like nice. By up a notch? You mean like heroin or just still beer but better?
They have events. They'll have like Q&A's after films.
Oh, okay.
There's a bar and restaurant like right underneath it, so they have the whole property. The guy did this whole thing where he was doing like a VHS rental / screening of small, super small cult movies in like the back of the store mm-hmm. way before this even like took off.
Oh, that's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
So it's kind of like a classy like New Bev.
New who?
New Bev.
He's from New York. He may not know.
New Beverly.
All right. How long have you been in L.A. for?
July.
Oh, okay. So like just recently.
Oh.
So that's like Tarantino's theater where he has like all these screenings and does double features and cool. Q&A's afterwards. And
yeah, Miracle Mile, right?
It's on Beverly and La Brea.
Yeah, exactly. My sister lives over there. I've been meaning to go over there. I saw Hateful Eight twice.
Oh, you did?
Love that film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? I haven't seen it yet.
That was a snub, man. I think that should have won.
Yeah?
For real.
I couldn't get myself to like it, and I like Tarantino a lot.
What's your main pick on that movie? Or your...
It was just it was like a theater play and a movie. It was like on stage it would be perfect,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't. So it wasn't. It was just so slow. Like at the third act, like when they like do that whole rewind thing, it's like I didn't need to see any of that. You know, like all implications and stuff like that. I didn't need to go back a couple chapters. You know,
my criticism was after the. Intermission, the mm-hmm. little narrative to catch people up on it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little extra. I was
yeah, like, exactly. It was like I didn't need... Oh, that was the one where Tarantino's narrating, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Bruce Dern, the dude that did Nebraska, the black and white film,
yeah.
He plays the older colonel or whatever, killed it.
Oh, yeah.
Killed it.
Yeah, he kills everything that he's in.
I like that a lot. I'm a sucker for Channing Tatum, even though his role kind of sucked in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Right, because you've worked on projects with that Channing was in, right? You well, did
Step Up 3D, dude.
That's it, man.
Wait, can actually, he wasn't even Magic in that Mike? Film. No, he. I actually worked on Magic Mike.
I know.
That shit is fun. I like that stuff. But he wasn't in a Step Up that I worked on. There's a little kid by the name of Moose that was in it. I don't know his real name, but his name in the movie was Moose.
Okay.
And I think it was they ranked like the top 100 dance sequences in all of the Step Up movies, and the one where he's dancing down the street with the girl. Was like I think top 5 or something, and just being like having my hands on that was so cool. It's like it's gratifying work. That was the first time I worked on a 3D movie, you mm-hmm. know, stereoscopic work. So I learned how to do that shit,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that it was dance movie is like that's right up my alley. I'm into that stuff. Music is is one of my big passions.
Okay,
and I don't play music, but I just really have a love for it.
How did you get into visual effects? I mean, you don't watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
You love music.
Mm-hmm.
But you got into visual effects.
Well, I have a fine arts background.
Okay.
But I dropped out of college and didn't get a fine arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of pissed around for 5 years of my life after that.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaned up my act a little bit. Delivered a lot of pizza.
Yeah, and I've been there.
Yeah. It was good times, though.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. And when I was graduating high school, Full Sail sent me all their literature in the mail. I said, oh, come to this school. You could design a web page. You could do all this stuff. And I didn't pay it any mind. But they kept sending that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, you know what? Screw it. Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
I'll visit my grandma. Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
And I made a trip out of it. The facility there blew my socks off. The stuff that they were putting out. It was like fine arts, but like y'all can make money doing this.
Yeah.
So I said, where do I sign up? Dad helped me out a little bit with this one.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I was driving down to Florida. Little cute story. While I was cleaning up my act and delivering pizzas, I accumulated 4 tanks of frogs in the house that I grew up in. I developed like a
I did not see that coming at all.
No.
It was just like a real little hobby type of thing, right?
Like breeding frogs?
People get fish, people get a dog, people get whatever, salamanders.
Some people get frogs.
Some people get frogs. Yeah. I have frogs.
Yeah.
And
I love frogs, they're awesome.
A frog's a really cool animal. I could freeze and then unthaw and then they're still
Do you get angry ones? Whoa, and really? Stuff that like hiss and like bark?
No. There's some that would jump out of the tank.
Okay.
Then that was about it.
Normal frog stuff.
What did you name some of these frogs?
I didn't name any of them. There's too many of them.
You didn't get attached. You're gonna eat them.
That's good.
And they
that's
all didn't make it. Like TV, only the strong survive.
That's right. Right.
So here I am driving from New York to Florida to start my whatever you call it, trying to get a degree doing animation. And I packed it to the gills. Me and my dad were in the car driving down, and I threw these frogs, aquatic frogs, in a bucket of water, mm-hmm. and drove all the way down to Florida. As soon as I crossed the line in St. Augustine, it was,
mm-hmm.
Stopped in a hotel, checked out the frogs. The water was looking a little mucky. I was like, I got to do something about this. Meanwhile, frogs are fine. Totally chill. Totally chill.
I like where this is going.
I'm not sure I do.
Dumped out half of the water, but made sure that none of them guys got out.
Yeah.
And filled it up with water from the sink in the hotel. Tap water in the South is not tap water in New York State.
Oh, okay.
Woke up in the morning to 20 frogs belly up.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
So I kind of started off on the wrong foot.
What an omen.
Yeah.
Seriously. Dude, that's like some Flint type water. I mean, that
it was bad water, but honestly though, it probably
survival of the fittest, you know. Maybe it's better off that those frogs didn't make it.
Dead weight.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on, were there frogs that did survive this?
None.
Okay.
None.
All right.
Wow.
Frogs were harmed in the making of
this. In the move to Florida,
man.
That's depressing.
Yeah, it's sad. Pour out a little liquor. How did I get into this? So originally I wanted to be an animator. When I went down to check out the school, I thought, oh, these guys are doing 2D animation. They're drawing, and they're sculpting, and they're making these characters, armatures and all this. And it's freaking cool. And they teach the technology behind it. So I said, I'm going to be the dude that's doing Finding Nemo. I love this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
As I progressed and got towards the end, they have you make a thesis, your final project kind of thing, right? And I said, I'm really into this visual effects stuff. I could put a CG car with regular cars and nobody would know it. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Make the car fly.
Yeah.
Right? Before This is before Pixar came out with Cars. I said, put some eyes in the cars. Make the cars talk.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool shit.
Yes.
Cool shit.
Yeah.
So I made a real elaborate thesis and made a whole bunch of different little projects and polished it up. For whatever reason, the professor, they call them professors, didn't like what I was doing.
Really?
Other professors and other students, I've seen them fail a lot worse than this and totally flunked me. So this is an accelerated program where you get a bachelor's degree in 2 years, and every month is a semester, and the final project is a 5 month long thing. And I had gone through with the same... a class starts with 35, 40 people, and mm-hmm. by the end, only the strong survive.
Mm-hmm.
Your graduating class could be like 5 people.
Oh, right? Wow.
Okay.
And they pool them all together, the web design people, the recording arts, they do stage production, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was separated from my graduating class, and my family was coming down to watch me walk. Here I am, a dude that has to get set back 5 months. So my pride was like, I'm not walking. I flew all the way down. It was a whole thing. But what happened was, to fast forward the story, I made a thesis in animation and passed. I wasn't really too super excited about it, but I did it because I was like, hey, I could do this. And got into the industry with my failing project.
Oh, okay.
So how did I get into this?
And see, that's kind of funny that, you know, the quote-unquote failing project is actually what makes you money now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd so want to go back to that professor and... be like, hey.
I have moments like that too.
With
professors.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I don't get how that stuff works. This is not me throwing dirt on Full Sail, but like, how do you graduate a student and then they work at Best Buy for 2 years and then they're a teacher? Like, that doesn't really make much sense to me.
Right.
And then they tout it as industry, real world education. Look, they have the industry standard as far as hardware and software and, you know, the sprinkle of people who do have industry experience, but for me, it's not so much about the where this button is and how does this physically correct simulation get calculated. It's more like, be prepared to like not sleep.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's more of what you put into it, you got out of it? Or
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we've had a few guests that are from Full Sail.
How about it?
Hunter
mm-hmm.
was from Full Sail. And Hunter Thompson. Yeah. Hunter Thompson. No. And nice. And you know he worked on The Walking Dead. He did The Mist. Like
what's
he's
do?
He's an editor.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I feel like you know it doesn't matter what school it is, but if you don't put the time into it,
mm-hmm.
doing what you want to do, I feel like you're not going to get anything out of it.
What's anything in life?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they can give you a piece of paper, but you know, it says you're a visual effects artist, but if you don't know how to do it. And what's the point? But
oh, man. You could fake it till you make it for only so long, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So you've only been in LA since July.
Correct.
How long were you in New York working as an artist?
Since 08.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. That's a nice run.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. I worked with a studio based out of Hollywood in Brooklyn for 5 years. That's where I acquired a relationship with the incredibly talented Darren Aronofsky and
nice.
his college roommate who was my boss and who's still a super close guy to me. His name's Dan Schrecker. He's awesome. He actually blessed me with an introduction and relationship now with this guy, Terrence, who I'm collaborating, there you go, with him on this first act of a film that he'd like to get made, which is pretty awesome. The scenario is, well, it's called They Charge for the Sun, and I wouldn't call it a post-apocalyptic thing, but it's fast forward to a time where the sun is so strong that it'll burn you if you go outside. So they create these domes for the privileged that are able to go outside without getting burnt. And the story is told through the eyes of a young black girl who goes out and discovers that she's not affected like everybody else is.
Oh.
It's pretty cool, man.
That sounds cool.
I've worked with Terrence in the past. I would call him a visionary. He's very talented and a magical person. You know, that's the type of people that I like to stay around in this industry because you rub shoulders with a lot of people in the editing bays and the... even in like the meetings and such. But some people just really have a knack, not only a knack for it, but a passion for what we're doing, telling the story. And I mean, even people in the technical side who are holed up in the closet that is the office or whatever you call it, cubicle, that people like me work in. And there's so much to learn technically in what I do. And they're making some really cool stuff out there.
Yeah. Was it hard to get into working in the business in New York? Because I think you were one of the few people that we've had on that didn't like come out here, and that's when they started.
Right, right. Yeah, a lot of people that I know that were my classmates just flew right out here.
Yeah. And
I actually did fly right out here for a, a networking conference event / job fair called Seagraph. And it was a little daunting, you know. I was this one of 500 people with a suit and a haircut and a demo reel looking to get work. And everybody was willing to work for nothing. And I wasn't. I wanted to go home. I wanted to try and, you know, make my own lane. And I wouldn't say I did. I just kind of kept shooting, you know, throwing shit against the wall until something stuck. And I was willing to work for nothing if it was the right job.
Yeah.
So I went back home after the Seagraph event and applied from Singapore to Brazil to Canada to Bulgaria to London, and nothing landed. And then one day I was searching and I saw this place in Brooklyn saying, we're looking for somebody, visual effects, 5 years experience or more. And I said, you know what? What the hell? Why wouldn't I? So, got the interview, went in there with the haircut and the suit and all that. And I said, I'll sweep your floors. At this point, I don't care. I really don't. I just want to get in, right? Because I could deliver pizza to do what I got to do. Fortunately, I was living at my folks' place. But I got in. And the relationships that I've made since getting in there, forget advancing my career and collaborating on cool projects. I've just been with some real cool people, real talented people. And now that I'm out here, it's pretty cool because there's a lot of people out here who are talented and who I'd want to mix it up with. But it's a different world here, though.
Yeah.
I know this a segue into the theme of this podcast. It's about people coming from other places to LA and their experience in the entertainment industry.
A lot of it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like most of the people that we've had on the show have not come from California or just in LA in general. And I think that telling that everybody's story is different is very important.
But also that it's possible to live somewhere else and be working at least for a time.
Oh, yeah.
You were doing it out there for a number of years.
Well, all the work that was in LA kind of dispersed. In I would say that started about 7 to 10 years ago or so. They give tax breaks in other places, and then the effects work, the post work, you know, it goes to your Montreals, your Vancouver's, Louisiana. Work in New York too. But yeah, no, it's cool to be here because this is where all the studios are.
Yeah.
Where the studios are is money.
Right.
And it's unique now working for CBS because, you know, people don't want to have a union for visual effects artists, for compositors and 3D guys and all this, because there's a good thing going. They're making money off of the fact that they don't have that. And you got kids coming in out of school working minimum wage or working for lunch.
Yeah.
And it's pretty horrible, actually. That being said, CBS working on with a studio in the union, right? It's pretty cool because the only other alternative is you're in an animation guild. You're working for a DreamWorks for a studio that has their own content, right? And you're kind of stuck with them when you're in that position. Now I'm looking at this. I mean, if Scorpion went down the toilet, let's keep our fingers crossed. I'm in the art director's guild. Like, that has clout. Oh. That has clout. I talk to other people in my industry, and they're not going to do anything for you. They don't care about you. Visual effects is the redheaded stepchild of the production line, right? We're trying to get this stuff done for less, so you guys got to come in and do this for us. Whereas now, it's like we're involved in the production process, and that's where I want to be, you know?
Yeah.
So it took a little while to get here. I'm here. And circumstances from this season 2 for Scorpion are such that now I'm in the driver's seat.
Yeah. That's exciting.
It's great. It's really awesome. The situation from the day 1 is a little hairy because I was interviewed for a leadership position alongside somebody else, and the other person got that job. So my superior said, "We're going to hire this other guy as the lead. Would you come in as an artist?" I'm like, "Yeah, but you know I'm going to try to take his job, right?" He says, "You remind me of myself. Sounds great. I'll see you in July." So, you know, fast forward. Took the dude's job. It's good. It's good. No, none of this.
Well, he went on to something pretty big. I don't know the whole story behind it, but, I feel like a lot of times when some of those shifts happen, it's not because of he didn't do a good job. It was he went on and did something else that he wants to do, you know. But
I mean, the timing. I look at it like this: is whose time is it? Right? Is it your time to shine? Is it your time to shine?
I see.
Right. It's not like someone dropped the ball or didn't do the job. I just think that it's wrong place, wrong time. Some people don't even want to do it. They'll take the job just to get out there. They'll take the job just because the situation they're in, they need to get out of that situation.
Right.
So I don't know if any of that is the case.
Yeah.
But this was my ticket out here, and I'm just trying to make the best out of it. Chips fall where they may, and I feel like I'm in a good spot. The thing is now it's a whole lot more responsibility.
Yeah.
So I like it. New challenges. I'm living in a house with 4 other people. I lived alone for the last 4 years. New challenges.
Yeah. Do you like roommates?
Double-edged sword. Some, yes. Sometimes it's the best thing in the world. But other times, you know, close your door.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's really nice.
Sometimes I want to be alone, Andrew.
Sometimes I want to be alone.
I know.
Why don't you guys go be alone together?
Nice. Because then we wouldn't be alone.
Oh.
Oh, that's how that works?
I don't know,
man. For sure.
If you haven't, if you couldn't tell, Andrew is my roommate.
Yeah, we live
here.
It's like a married couple in here.
Yep.
Hey, it's great, man. It's cheap. It's cheap. I was looking back at the prices for a medium one bedroom in New York City. And I think it's twice what it was when I was there less than a year ago.
Really?
Jesus.
Yeah, you came from one of the few places in the country where it's like, oh, at least it's not as expensive as, like, a lot of our guests have been from, like, Ohio. And, like, it's crazy expensive out here.
Right.
But New York, it's like...
San Francisco and New York. Stamp.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's wacky. I don't know how people are above water there. But people, we make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked briefly about horror stories. Do you have any horror stories that you could share?
Putting me on the spot.
Horror
stories?
Doesn't have to pertain to anybody specifically.
You saw someone accidentally deleting something gigantic. You saw something that was supposed to be painted out go to air.
Yeah,
maybe a deadline that you're like, I don't know if we can do. That kind of thing.
You want to hear the horror story of horror stories?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
I'm throwing me with a good time.
Well, I worked late one night, just till the wee hours of the night, and fell asleep behind the wheel driving home and drove my car into a wall.
Oh whoa.
See, that's a good horror story.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's like a bad thing that happened.
These are fake.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that happened.
How long ago did that happen? First.
4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah.
Were you driving in New York?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's your first problem.
What? Really? You don't have to.
There's just some hardcore judgment that was passed right now.
You all don't know how to merge lanes out here. York,
I was terrified.
That's correct. No merging. They don't. It's a zipper, man. Just anyway.
What?
Yeah, respect the zipper merge.
Yeah, it's the zipper merge.
Are we talking about here or there? You've never been to New York, so
here. I've been to New York. I haven't been to the city, but
okay.
But. You're supposed to come in like a
right,
zipper.
Right.
This is an audio podcast. No one can see what you're doing with your hands.
I know, but...
It looked like a zipper, though. That
looked like a
nice
zipper.
It looked
like a zipper. One after the other. Zipper. Anyway.
Look around, you look over your shoulder, you know, you merge.
Yeah.
Just trust that no one will run into you, you know?
You just gotta be cautious.
What,
Proceed with caution is the key word. Not just have caution.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that.
Fell asleep. Yeah, that's true. You fell asleep behind the wheel.
That's terrifying.
How many hours were you working prior?
I think it was 14 straight.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many days of that were, you know, was it like multiple days of that kind of hours?
Yeah, for sure. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
That was finishing Black Swan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Oy.
So, like, how far did that, like, set you? Like, how long were you out of commission for after that?
It wasn't too long. I think it was only about a month.
Oh, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary, though.
Yeah.
Really? That's, I mean, that's a long time to be out of commission.
That's true.
Like, I mean,
it's like, well, it could be a lot worse. Yeah, I could have died, you know?
I find it funny how people could be out of commission in our line of work because you're really just sitting there.
Right, right.
People say,
I have both my legs broken. I can still work.
You can still work.
You don't edit. You don't edit with your feet.
No, just have my hands. Standing desk in the down position. Yeah. Be all right.
I'm just going to sit in this thing called a chair.
Yeah, it happens. It has wheels on it.
You're not a doctor. You're not a landscaper. You mean,
right, right. Right. Well, it's funny because it's funny that we mentioned this because you know, when I go to concerts and stuff, I'm always wearing my earplugs. And like if I'm actually working with power tools, I like to put safety glasses on.
Of course.
And it's things that when I was young, I would be like, eh, whatever. You know, I'll go to a concert and not wear ear protection. And now it's like, no, that's how I make money. That's how I live is by being able to hear and see things.
These hands
can save
things.
Made
of gold, man.
Yeah.
All right. So in hindsight, what would you have done differently? Other than falling asleep and crashing into the wall.
If I was sleeping on the couch in the office or putting my foot down rather and saying no.
Yeah.
I'm not working this late. You could pay me triple my salary. No, it's not worth it. It really never is.
Yeah.
That's how this job was pitched. The hours are going to be regulated because it's a union gig.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enticing to me. Enough. Yeah. The fact that the union carrot was dangled in front of me really got me out here, but to say that we're not going to work you past 10 hours, which really is 8 hours. It's awesome. Cushy job.
Yeah.
But I know well enough that this is TV and it's a sandwich. Every episode is tight.
Yeah.
So tight. And it's been a struggle getting this whole pipeline tightened up to the point where we could see a week ahead of us, or we could anticipate things that will really be a time suck that we have to get out of the way. And I think we've matured, right? We started out with a Fisher Price render farm and an infantile state of a department, but we've totally matured. And with the relationships I have with the people I work directly with, the visual effects side, have like I said, really matured, and I feel very comfortable working with them and asking them for help. And I think that's the number one thing. I'm always talking my ass off in there, just like to a fault. I'm a blabbermouth. I just talk about my feelings, talk about whatever.
No, that's good.
It's not even about technical approach for the work, because I know how that can be when someone above me is telling me how to do something. I know how to do it. I'm getting paid to do this. Like, ease off. But to talk about how I'm feeling today, how you're feeling today, what are you guys getting for lunch? Like, it's nice. We have good camaraderie in this office, and I'm really happy for that.
Yeah, yeah.
How has your job changed now that you're is it the lead? Is that the term?
You just see more of the ugly stuff. You know, you ponder why these things are the way they are when you're just driving the car. But when you could see the way things operate, you start to get a little bit of understanding of why these moves are calculated the way they are, who to listen to and who to kind of, I wouldn't say neglect, but just not pay any mind to. Rather, oh, that person's, they're not crazy, but like,
yeah,
there's a reason why they're acting the way they're acting. Some people just want to be right for the sake of being right. Other people will be like, they'll stand down and listen to you. They might take what you said and take credit for it, but it's more about like, let's just get this job done.
Right.
I don't care if I tell you the answer to some test and then you say that you thought it up. What do I care?
Right.
Yeah, the intention is there. The vibe is right. And it's a bigger challenge now being in this role. But I think it's great. I definitely didn't think it was great 6 months ago. For sure. Did not. We were dysfunctional.
Yeah.
We were dysfunctional. People weren't held accountable. And, you know, we're in a better place now. We know what to expect. We're honest.
That's good.
Yeah.
Honesty is a good thing.
It is.
Well, this season was the first season that we've had actually an in-house team. So I'm sure there were tons of wrinkles that had to be ironed out. And do you feel like, you know, you guys are... We're working on the last couple of episodes, and it's like we could do so much more now and faster because we know what's going on.
Exactly. We're not in the dark.
Right. And I'm sure that season three, which I'm sure we'll get.
If we weren't going to get it, we would have known by now. I'm pretty sure, I'm confident that it's a lock.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, season three is just going to be even smoother, I'd imagine. I mean, cross my fingers.
Oh, boy.
I have things that I want to see, and if I don't see these things, then it'll be an indication that we haven't... You know, you got to put these little, like, checkpoints up, right? And if I reach this point, then we're going in the right direction. I think that we should be further along than we are right now, but I've only been in this position for, like, less than a month. So now where I'm at, it's like I'm not afraid to tell my superior... You fucked up here. You dropped the ball there.
Yeah.
If you want to see this, I need to hear that. I can't, you know, you whistle, the dog comes. I can't just come because I'm supposed to come. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, you got to be told, like, this is what's going on.
I'm a huge communicator. I believe that's the most important thing. I'm all about taking inventory. I have to have a pulse on what's going on in this episode in order for me to feel like we're delivering the best quality work. Because, like I said, it's a sandwich. It's a pressure cooker, really.
We gotta
look weeks ahead instead of days and hours ahead.
Right.
And frustrations arise. I mean, in any world, you're going to be frustrated with the people who are above you and below you because you're in a position where you're leaned on. And like I said, communication, man. It's the number one thing. It's the make or break. It's like light in a photograph. If it's not there, what are you looking at?
Yeah.
Right.
It's very true. That's very true. Do you have any advice for any future lead visual effects artists?
It's kind of hard to say that though, because I've only been in this position.
How about just regular visual effects?
Yeah, I'll just say people are trying to get into VFX. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, let's say they're delivering pizzas right now.
Right.
So how do they become you. Right? Pretty heavy.
Grow about a foot and a half.
I say dye some of your hair gray, pull some of it out. Nah, for me, it's a long road no matter where you're going, I think, right? Because you can get there physically and be in that spot, but you won't realize where the journey is where it was what it's all about. As far as advice goes for people trying to succeed in the visual effects pipeline or industry rather, stick to your guns. If you want something, don't be afraid to turn down people that don't want to give you exactly what you want, because you're going to hate yourself. You're going to resent people. You're going to wake up, ugh, I don't want to go to work. Ugh, they want all this stuff from me. Ugh, I'm not getting paid enough for this. We all know this in any industry, but I think in this one, specifically in this show, our primary objective is to save production money, right? And I always was taught that in working in post, you want to be the least of everyone's problems. If there's a bottleneck and you could point at me, you're going to fucking rain down on me, and that's not going to make me happy. Yeah. Even if I don't have what you want, I'm going to tell you that I'll be able to have it in a short amount of time. Save face. Like,
yeah.
Impress. You know, they say promise the moon or shoot for the moon and land amongst the stars. I'm always going to say that we could do this. I'm always going to say that this is possible. When in reality, a lot of people will say, I don't really want to do this. Like, this is uncomfortable territory, uncharted waters. I never did this before. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about working in the digital world is there's somebody in freaking Sweden right now that's 12 years old and is doing laps around JJ. Mm. There's somebody who's in any world. There's always going to be someone that's working while you're not. So stay sharp. Don't take, don't settle for less, right? Listen to people who were inspiring, right? Stay away from the naysayers. I'm gonna get on a self-help tip right now.
Go for it.
No, but there's so many people out here that are doing so many impressive things. So I think being open to those people and not so judgmental, because shit, I know how I can get. And especially in a place like LA where everyone's king of the cool. What can I do for you? Or what have you done for me lately? Just be open-minded to other approaches towards things. You don't know it all. You don't know how to do this the best. You know, you may know how to do this really good, really fast, but there's always somebody out there who's got a sharper blade, and they'll take your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So be nice.
And sometimes they won't even be nice enough to give you a heads up that they're aiming for your job.
Oh, no. Usually they're not.
Yeah.
I like to think, be kind, do good work, stay humble.
Solid.
That's good advice, man. Are you sure you don't want to do self-help? Like, you know, cassette? You know, remember those cassettes people would buy?
Like a Tony Robbins type deal, maybe?
Yeah.
Abraham Hicks. Oh, no. You know what? Kenny Powers.
Yeah.
Kenny Powers. Sucks. There we go.
Yes.
I'm fucking in. Yeah. You're fucking out. Yeah. Exactly. Perfect.
It's so absurd. No, I listen to that, like, self-help stuff on the regs. You gotta pepper it in there.
Yeah.
There's a hidden message in everything from hip hop to animated features to Scorpion.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in there. But yeah, confidence in this job is real easy to sell yourself short and to be the whipping boy, so to say.
Whipping boy. Yeah, that's something. Yeah.
Solid.
Greg, do you have a Twitter account that people can follow?
I don't tweet.
No. Do you do the Instagram?
I got an IG.
Yeah.
Ah,
nice.
Shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Promote myself?
Yeah.
G-Selvs. G-E-E-S-I-L-V-S.
There it is.
I don't really post. I'm more of a lurker.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's okay. If people had questions for you, can you message on Instagram?
For sure. It all goes down in the DM. Come on.
I don't know that. I don't use Instagram, this Instagram.
Remember
thing.
I told you the story this last weekend about a guy that we know who's on a show who flew here and spent a lot of money.
Yes, that was on Instagram?
That was via Instagram.
Shit. Okay, we'll tell you that after the show.
Yeah.
To say slide through the DMs.
Slide through the DMs. Okay.
Boom.
All right.
You make it sound so easy, man.
Yeah, it does. I feel like I could get on there.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, JJ, yeah. you have an account too, right?
I do. I have a Twitter account. It's JJGeiger711. Andrew, you have one as well.
I think I'm on there. Yep. Yeah, I'm at The Real Zuber.
You have an Instagram account too?
That's just Andrew Zuber.
Oh, right.
I think Nadav's on.
Yeah.
You're on all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm
man.
On Instagram and Twitter. You guys could follow me at Very Nadav Show.
Sweet. You also could write to the Early Call Time podcast at earlycalltime@gmail.com with your questions. If you really like the podcast, you really want to tell us and write us and let us know, that'd be pretty sweet. We'd read it on the air.
We'd read it so fucking hard.
Yeah, I have some suggestions. I'll suggest them off the air, but okay. I would love to be a guest host sometimes.
Careful what you wish for, Doug.
Yeah.
How'd you like to start today? We have four more guests coming.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, you're the last of three today.
The light is really hot over here.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I'm noticing the flicker. We'll talk. We'll talk.
I know.
Always a critic.
Always.
This isn't good enough.
You, if you don't like writing letters or emails, you can call us on the telephone.
On our Detroit number.
It's Philadelphia.
All right.
267-225.
Chat.
267-225.
2428.
There you go.
Which spells chat.
Yep. You can text us that. You can call us in the voicemail.
Messages and shit.
You know, all that stuff. And we would be happy to read them on the air or answer your questions.
The last guy that wrote us and told us he liked the show, we had him on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And
film
he
student.
Now has a 12-picture deal at Paramount.
So
yeah, that
so,
could be you.
Yep.
That could
be you. But without further ado,
you can listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.